Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
On purpose, and it was anger, and then I had to pretend it wasn't anger, and it was a mistake. Yeah. I tripped over Graham's crock. I picked
Did it up in a fit
of rage. I fucked it out the bedroom door, and it caught a vase on the top of the windowsill and broke it and fell all the way downstairs. And Graham was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I didn't mean to do that. I was just thrown out in the hall. And I didn't
Oh, that when you step on something.
When I say, look at my arm from walking into things.
Yeah, no, you are bruised, dude.
A fit of rage.
Can I have some of your saliva?
Yeah, of course you can.
Thanks, my mouth's clean.
I don't care. I'd lick the inside of your mouth, even if it wasn't clean.
Would you?
Yeah, because I love you.
I'd lick the inside of your mouth also. I think also, I was listening to The Basement Yard a little while ago. That's really good. And they had those two guys from Shits and Gigs, you know that podcast? The two guys that got cancelled a while ago.
They got cancelled for
talking shit about black women. They are black men, but they were being like really disrespectful towards black women. And they had them on, and one of them asked Frankie the question. Like, that's two of them. They were like, if one of you got bitten by a snake on your penis, would you suck the venom out? And Joe was like, no. And Frankie was immediately like, yeah. And I was like, of course I would.
Of course you would.
If you got bit in your vag,
and
I
was
going to
die. Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, not a bother.
I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But Joe was like, no. Like, bro, who? He's going to die.
He best friend the whole world.
You let him die because you don't want to be gay.
Yeah, he might be a little bit gay.
I think
who said no.
Generally, when they're like, no,
yeah. He's a little bit gay.
Whereas in Frankie's like, yeah. I was like, oh, Frankie's really comfortable
with
his sexuality.
Really comfortable with his
sexuality. Loves his friend.
Super comfortable with who he is as a person.
Yeah, I think
loves his friend, doesn't want his friend to die. Knows that that's a piece of his anatomy if he thinks about it that way and is not sexually attracted to it.
I'm not too, it's not a sexual act because I'm doing it because you're going to potentially die.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as sucking it out of his arm.
Honestly, but if I had gotten bit on my vagine,
I'd suck it out.
And you were sucking it out. I know that the prankster in me, even though I was in agony, would be like, ah.
I know. And then I'd spit it back in. I'd say, die, bitch. I don't give a fuck. This is a tender moment and I've ruined it with your nonsense. Can I just tell everybody to say I texted Sarah Jane today and told her I was having a shit day and she texted me back, why, what happened? I'm having a lovely day. I said, you... I said, this cunt hasn't changed one bit since she was 17.
I'm therapy
so glad,
has
I'm so
made
glad
it
you're
stronger.
Having a lovely week.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I knew what
no, you did.
I wrote it and I said, oh, I'm going to set her off. Oh, I'm going to set her off.
I actually was laughing my ass off when you said it.
I'm
so
having a great
funny.
Day.
So I was like, I'm having a lovely week. I said, congratulations. Can I tell you how I'm feeling for a second? Before you come in here with the balloons.
And you know what, I did training last week on how to tap into my own empathy.
It's not great. Get your money back. Get your money back. Refund, please.
It's like how to talk someone out of suicide. You need to be empathetic or sympathetic. What's the difference?
Empathy is when you understand where they're coming from because you have potentially experienced something like that previously, so
oh,
you have that connection.
Sympathy. You
whereas
need to be
sympathy
sympathetic.
Is like, I am sorry that's happening
okay,
to you.
Okay, so you need to be, it's to tap into your sympathetic piece.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, which is today when you messaged me to be like, hey, I'm having a shit day.
What'd you tap into there?
Non-rage.
Everything is great. I'm feeling wonderful. This fucking dipshit. I'm having a terrible day. I actually, do you know something? I didn't have a terrible day. Work was fine today. I just don't want to work.
That's fine.
And I was in that mode today and my boobs feel really big.
Have they gotten bigger?
I don't know. And they just feel really big. And I just
don't look any bigger.
Okay. Because it's just in my head. Like every time I move my
are you noticing them?
My BDD is just out of control. Like it's so bad. I don't know
what
to do.
Is it because it's the summer?
I don't know what it is. Like I'm literally walking or sitting or standing or doing anything and my brain is like running, just get into a hole. Like my skin, I can't even begin to explain. Like my body touching my body right now is like.
Well, I did.
I want to cut my skin off.
Have a very small moment of what you must feel all the time, because yesterday I was like bending over, and my back, like lower back, fat touched the top of my touch, like the middle. I could feel my body.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Go to gym, you fat cunt.
That's normal.
I know, yeah, but I was
your body touching your body is normal.
And then I was like, oh no.
I'm gonna. I'll talk to my therapist about it anyway. But it's just the last like 3 or 4 months. And I hate talking about it because I'm like, it's a made up thing in my brain. Like I know I can't control it, but it's a made up thing in my brain. And I'm like obsessing about my hands again. I'm back in the obsessing about my hands thing. Like I took a picture and sent.
Is this because of tattoos?
No, I took a picture of something I was sending to Yvonne the other day, and my thumb was in the picture, and I had to delete the picture from my WhatsApp because I was like so upset. Like, that's how dumb this is. I'm like, I hate my thumb. Like, I'm literally like, my thumb is disgusting. That's not normal.
No.
And then in my brain, I'm like, no, that is normal to feel that way about yourself. It's totally normal. You're a fucking gross piece of shit. So, like, everything I'm doing, like, there's so many reflective surfaces in my job. And I'm closing my eyes and I'm walking past stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to walk into a wall. But I can't help it. I'm immediately like, close your eyes. I'm like, why am I crazy? What is happening? Like, it's really
bad. Is it your hormones?
I don't know what's going on. Like, if I feel like I did when I was like 22, I'm in that vibe of my brain of just being like I'm getting on the bus in the mornings and I'm like, feel like I'm going to cry because I don't want people to look at me. And that's what I was like back when I was like my early 20s. And I'm like, I have to do something about this because it's really, really bad. Like, I didn't want to go to work this morning. And when I was in work, I knew what it was because I just didn't want people looking at me. And not looking at me, like looking at me, just the idea of anybody even seeing me was like, oh. So if anybody's going through this currently, I feel you. I'm with you.
It's just like, how many people suffer with this type of thing?
I don't know how many. Like, I know, you know, a lot of people kind of get misdiagnosed with other things.
Like what?
Like obsessive, like it is part, can be part of OCD.
Because you have intrusive thoughts.
So I know it can be part of like OCD and stuff like that. But I'm not sure how many people, like my therapist who diagnosed me with this, and I went to the psychiatrist, was saying that more people have it than they would realize that they have it. Like they've normalized.
Hating themselves.
These feelings of complete, pure self-hatred. Like people are like, people like sometimes videos will pop up on my Instagram where it's someone being like with body dysmorphia where they're like, oh, today I felt this way, and then they're like, I thought that was normal, and the people in the comments are like, that's not normal. But you normalize.
Well, that's how all things work. Yeah. Because you don't have any other way of living.
Like it's literally
so how you your brain assume that worked. Everybody yeah. else is doing like, the same thing as you.
I presume in my brain, like this girl, I was watching this video the other day, and this girl was like, I had an epiphany a couple of weeks ago where I was talking to a friend of mine and I said to my friend, oh, so you just don't think about how much you hate yourself like all the time, every day, every 15 seconds. And her friend was like, no.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh. Because in my brain, I thought people did that. I'm like, oh, everybody just sits around thinking about how much they hate their bodies and hate themselves and hate their hair and their skin and their face. Like, I thought that was normal. And then eventually, obviously, I was like, that's not normal. But like, I was in work today and when I tell you, my brain was just like, picking myself apart, like everything. Like, I hate my nails.
That does sound like OCD.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of borderline OCD. Like, I don't have rituals and things that I do.
No, I know, but that obsessive, intrusive, can make it stop.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Sorry, this is very boring. Nobody needs to hear about this. But yeah, it's just been really bad. So I don't know what to do. Like, it's really bad. And I think maybe it is the summer. I think it is this thing where I'm like, because it's summer, you're meant to like have, not meant to, but like it makes sense to have your arms out and have your skin out. And where like, I didn't wear this today. I wore a long sleeve top today because I'm like, I can't have my skin out. Like, I can't have anybody looking at my skin. I can't have anybody, like, I can't, it's, and I'm like, oh my God, I hate myself for this. I think what I just need to do is buy a hand fan and bring it everywhere and then I'll be fine.
Why? Because you're warm.
I'm overheating because I can't not wear, and then people will say stuff to me about it and then I get really upset because I'm like, oh, they're sorry.
Oh, will you stop it? Stop saying sorry. I've been crying loads for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually for a month. Sorry, actually for 3 months. Actually for a whole year.
It's stupid.
It's not stupid.
It is stupid. Sorry.
Do you know what's stupid? Look at me.
No, it is stupid.
It's stupid not to talk about it, you dope.
I know, I just... Today was really bad, so I'm just like, fucking hell. But it'll pass. This is the thing, it passes.
Well, it will, but also I think it's the summer.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just like, I am literally like...
Also, you dyed your hair, which has, you know...
Fucked me up massively. Yeah. By the way, I don't have yellow hair anymore.
And not for long.
Not for long. We're going back. Anyway, that's Emma's nonsense. Apologies. I'm very sorry. Shout out to anybody suffering with body dysmorphia or any issues like eating disorders or anything in this weather, because I know how fucking hard it is. And for people to constantly be like, why are you wearing tights? Why are you wearing a jumper? Why are you? And you're like, you can't say to people, well, I hate myself, because that's not what people don't want to hear that. And they're not being cruel. They're just like, are you not sweating? And I'm like, yeah, I am. But I can't not sweat, because if I do the opposite, I will want to walk into the sea. So, yeah. You know, and people are not being cruel. And I just need you to know people are not being cruel. Most people are not being cruel when they ask those questions, you know, where they're like, oh, why are you wearing a top? Why are you wearing long sleeves? And I'm like, and I don't know what to say. I'm like, well, I hate my body and I hate myself. And the idea of anybody looking at any part of my body, like, you can't say that. Because then you're saying, because he's so fucking...
But
I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable for, you know, being like being saying to me, Jesus,
but it might make him a bit aware that like it's saying things like that to people. Like I see the other day I was walking and I saw a woman and she had a duffel coat on.
Jesus.
Right? Yeah. And I was like, and normally I'd be like, are you not fucking sweating? And I didn't know her. I would never have been saying it to her. But if she came into my job or I was interacting with her, I don't do that anymore because of you.
Yeah.
And people don't know about that stuff.
And I don't want to make anybody feel bad for
it. But you're not making anybody feel bad. You're just making them aware.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between, like, you going, you stupid cunt.
I know.
How dare you ask me? I'm going to HR.
Yeah. Like, I would never.
You're just saying, I'm actually just really uncomfortable with my arms.
Yeah.
And then they'll never ask you again.
Yeah, that's true. That's like, very true.
And you're just setting a boundary. It's, and you're not even setting a boundary in like a way of like, don't ask me again.
No, it's just being like,
yeah, I'm really uncomfortable with my arms.
Yeah.
And then you'll find that they'll never ask you ever again.
That's true. Anyway.
And they'll probably just say, that's top sleeve. That's a lovely long sleeve top you have on.
I see you wearing a long sleeve top. It's very fashionable.
Make you feel a bit more comfortable, because I think you're doing a lot of like dancing around the situation.
Also, I think I'm also like, making things bigger in my head than they are. Like, somebody asking me that question is not them attacking me or coming for me or trying to make me feel bad. They're just asking a genuine question, but I'll internalize that and be like, oh, they think I'm weird now, or like I'll go around in my brain about it. But like, yeah, I'm fine. Sorry, everything is fine. I'm fine. I'm having a bad couple of days, and it's like, you know, it's the thing where usually when it's coming up to my period, it's really, really bad. And
yeah, this is different, because this is after
it's after my period, and now I'm just like, it's really bad. Like, food stuff is fucking me up. Oh my God. Like, everything is just fucking me up. I think maybe it is the summer is kind of getting this thing into my brain where you're like, everybody's meant
to be
like...
Well, it's a very long extended summer we're having. Christ, and it's not like normally we get like a week of this.
Yeah.
You know, even a week, 3 days like 30 degree heat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're not. And so it feels very much like when you go to like fucking...
like a holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing... like their holiday clothes, everybody's commenting on the weather, and everybody's out doing exercise, and everybody's in the park, and everybody's at the beach, and there is just it's a very long extended summer we're having, and it's not something you're used to.
I think maybe as well, yeah.
I do notice that when it's like, when the weather gets good, this does get worse for you.
Yeah, it gets worse for me, I think. Like, you know, I'd love to go to the beach. I would love to go to the beach. I would love to go in the water. I can't. Like, the idea of, like, I just can't, like, people, like, even in work the other day, one of the girls was like, we should all go to the beach. And I was just like, no! And, like, I don't hate the beach. I hate... because I think the beach is beautiful. Like, I love going there. Remember we used to go at night and stuff? I love that. I just can't, like, the idea of me ever walking around in a swimsuit or anything. Wow, bro.
What if, like, you got those
No, never. I would never. Not, nothing. Nothing. Shorts, nothing. I couldn't
do it. No, not shorts. You know the one, like, you see them all the time now because they're becoming more, people are more aware of like UV and that kind of thing. But there's like, they're not Muslim swimsuits, but they're people, like dermatologists wear them.
Oh.
So they're like fully breathable material, but they cover all of your body.
Oh.
Yeah, like Anne Hathaway wears them.
Anne Hathaway. Because is she pregnant?
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought somebody said
so she wears like those great big Sun UV hats. Like if you,
I've seen the Sun UV hats. Google, I've seen those. They're like the big floppy ones.
Like a dermatologist conference. They're so funny.
Are they all showing them?
Skin cancer conferences.
Are they all?
Because when they're out, they're all in those like they're called rash vests.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
But they're
about,
just like
actually.
A UV, and they do them in like a UV. I have a UV rash vest T-shirt, but it's long sleeved. And it's not tight to my skin.
Would you wear that to like holidays and stuff like that?
I wear that on the beach because I don't want to get like skin cancer. And I'm not like, I don't feel the way you feel.
I know.
Like, yeah, yeah. And my thought process about the beach and about the swimming is that everybody there is feeling the exact same way about their body and no one is actually looking at your body because they're all like, everybody's looking at my body.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm actually not looking at anybody's body.
No, and that's the thing. Yeah. I wouldn't either.
No,
that's,
but I get why people get, even without having, what's it called? What's this body dysmorphia? What's the like...
OBDD?
Yeah. Even without that, that is a big deal for women.
Yeah,
like
course.
Going to the beach.
Unfortunately,
the
yeah.
But no, you can get like, because I understand how you feel, but you might look into that type of thing because okay. It's long sleeved, it's breathable.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be for the beach. You could wear it out like to work.
Oh, you wear it to work?
Well, yeah, because you can get like stuff that's like perfectly fine and comfortable.
Oh, so it's like...
It's breathable material.
Oh, okay,
and it's like UV resistant clothing. Did Decathlon sell it all? Because people are outside doing sports in fucking the weather.
In this heat.
Yeah. And they don't want to put like, you know, keeping sunblock on is difficult.
One of the girls I was working with was telling me today she went for a run last night and I was like, what time? She's like 6 o'clock. I was like, the fucking height of people, fair play to people though. People that can deal with this I think are amazing. Like that, like sun babies that like thrive in this, but I am not one of those people, unfortunately.
Like,
I wish I was.
Yeah, I don't wish I was.
It's too much. There's a whole other week of it. Although, we might as well just enjoy it because it's not going to be forever.
No, I had to see this thing.
It's not going
to tell
forever.
You, idiots that are like, we never get it. Yeah, move to Spain if you want all the time.
If you want this 7 days a week. Move to Spain.
6 months out of the year.
We're not used
to
this.
Yeah, like someone said it to me tonight and they were like, and it was like this person that I work with and they're in the UK and their heat wave is much more extreme. And she was like, I know I shouldn't say it. I said, sorry, say it if you want.
I said,
if you want this type of weather
all the time,
don't live here. Like
we're not, like, it's so funny because I can tell everybody in work is really tired.
No one's sleeping through the night.
People are sleeping properly, yeah.
We don't have AC.
No.
So for anybody who's listening to this, it's like, get over it. I live in Australia or I live in like a warmer climate. Our infrastructure is just not built for this. Like, there's no AC on the bus. There's no AC on the train. There's no AC in our houses. Very few buildings that people work in have AC.
Yeah. Do you have AC?
I have AC in my office, but there is no AC in the warehouse. And the warehouse is getting up to 30, 38 degrees because it's just a great big tin building. And we have every door open and we're just blowing air around.
It's just blasting fans, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we're doing. So we're just blasting fans everywhere. Like, but it doesn't seem to make an odds difference. No. Like my sister Yvonne was like, because I was saying to her, this apartment gets really, really hot. And she was like, close your curtains in the daytime. She was like, so the heat isn't like coming in. And she was like, then at night, open them. So I've been doing that.
Yeah, my next door really neighbors have, I thought that something had happened because their
curtains were closed
and their blinds have been pulled for the last 3 days. And I was like, oh, I hope they're okay. But they're both from a country that's like got a warmer climate. And they're just being smart about it.
That's what I've been doing. I've just been closing the curtains in the sitting room.
I tell you one thing I cannot stand about this heat.
What?
It's the fucking flies.
Flies, midges, moths. Seem to be having a fucking great time.
Yeah. Like,
the flies are gross. The flies are vile. Also,
everywhere.
That fucking building over there is not helping because I've noticed it's gotten so much worse since they started turning into Caroline.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
There are too many flies flying around. Yeah.
The air pollution from the flies.
Fix this fly issue immediately, Sisk.
Sisk. The leader.
At Sisk.
At the leader of Sisk. My
Who
mom.
Who owns Sisk? You.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's absolutely fucking vile. I hate them.
No.
It's just also I've noticed this is such an old person's podcast, but I don't care. My bins are getting stinky really quickly, so then the flies start.
Yeah,
and I'm like, so bad.
Anyway, do you feel better having after having a cry?
I feel better. Can I have another little drink of your 7 up? Thank you. Do you want tea?
No, it's too fucking hot.
No, it's not. That's shit.
Have tea after. Anyway, I want to tell the good people about my current obsession with Sean Hattersey. New hot man alert! Woo woo!
What's his surname?
Hattersey. Hattersey.
How do you spell it?
Hattersey.
How do you spell it?
Hattersey. H-A-T-O-S. E-A. Hadassi.
I've never heard that surname before.
Yeah. He must be of Irish
descent. Can I just
descent.
Say that Sarah called this man a rat for about 3 months? She was like, that rat. He looks like a rat. And I was like, I think the lady doth protest too much. She seems to be very angry at this man for no reason. And now she's betting to him.
Betting to him. Not young him.
Ugh. No, old him. He's in the pit. He's the guy with the one leg on the night team in the pit.
Yeah, who would get it. I'd let him take that one leg off and do things to me.
Beat the shit out of him.
Beat me to death with that prosthetic.
Oh, he's your Connor's story.
And I would be happy about it. I'm reading fan fiction about him. What is
this? Hold on, explain now. When you say you're reading fan fiction about him, is it him with the, like, you? Or
what? No.
Is
no,
he, is like, he boning somebody else?
Yeah.
Who's he boning?
Someone else in the story. What do you mean with me?
You know people... Okay, so I have delved into the world of fan fiction.
Explain. So I might be finding some of these later.
I've delved into the world of science fiction primarily because of Heated Rivalry, and I feel like I'm withdrawing from a drug and I need more Heated Rivalry. So I started reading Heated Rivalry fanfic, and as I've read it, I'm getting more information and I'm understanding that these women...
I learned about foot jobs this week. Foot jobs. Thanks to Emma.
These women are filthy.
Yes.
Filthy.
Yes.
Like, you think men think up things? No. Some girl called Kaylee in the Midwest in America is writing shit that would turn your hair grey. And she's loving every second of it. And she's having a great time. But I've learned that there is fanfic, which is like male-male. Obviously, then male-female-female. But there's also a group of fanfics, which is like... what's it called?
First-person shooter.
So it's like you, it's like something... What the fuck is it called when it's like the character and you?
POV?
So, yeah, so they write this fanfic... But you're the person, like it's him and you. But they don't say your name, obviously, because they don't learn him.
How did they write it?
Like, hold on, what's it called? What is it called?
Now, I don't know if I can get behind this because I am quite new to this world.
About
and I'm struggling. I did download the Quinn app also for this man. And set in a church car park. Waiting for my kid to come out of dance class.
Oh, I thought
class.
That it was set in a church
no,
car
no,
park.
No. I was in a church car park looking at the steeple, clutching my imaginary pearls. I said, sorry. Excuse me, who recorded this?
Fanfic when it's about you? What do I have to phrase this? What is it called? Self-inserts. So they call it Reader YN, stories with YN, your name, or you as the main character. This allows you to step directly into the shoes of the protagonist and interact with your favourite characters. So they basically make it like your...
That's too far for me.
But people love it.
I'm sure...
Now, I would never...
No judgment.
I would never read anything like that.
No. That's zero judgment here. I've only tipped my little tippy toe into the waters of fanfic.
Like, I've only read a couple, but...
I've just read one chapter, chapter to 13. Chapter 1 to chapter 13 in a day.
Sarah's reading! It's filth, but she's reading!
I'm reading that, and I'm... So I'm alternating between that and Columbine by Dave Cullen. No, is it Dave Cullen?
Dave Cullen, yeah.
Yeah, which is a fucking hard read, man.
But, yeah, like, I think fanfic is wonderful. I think it's amazing. These people
This girl,
are writing,
by the way, has got a book deal out of this fanfic.
These people are writing novel-length stories for nothing. They get no financial gain.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's just so other people who like the thing... Like, isn't that fucking beautiful? Mm-hmm. Like... They're not doing it. It's not like there's a website called AO3, which is where
that's where I'm reading this.
Yeah, which is more where most fanfic is. And this thing is like fully not. There's no advertising on it.
Nope.
They refuse to get an app. They run it themselves. And I also delved into the background of AO3. So I've been like deep diving on it because I'm like, this is so fascinating. And I think it's such a wonderful community. And it's primarily women that are doing it. It's fucking amazing. So how AO3 started was that there is a TV show called Supernatural.
Not for me, but okay.
Yeah, I watched the first 5 seasons of it. I enjoyed it. It's a
Graham watched it.
Harmless kind of
is that
television
the two men?
Show. Yeah, the two brothers.
Yes.
So the reason AO3 started is because, from what I've read, this might not be true. People started writing stories about the two brothers.
Bonin?
Yeah.
Each other?
Yeah.
Incest?
It's called Wincest because their surname is Winchester. So it's incest plus Winchester.
No, I'm going to say, Emma, you've...
Just like no say, judgment!
We started in a very positive place.
But listen, like, I it's not for me, and I would
it's
never.
A crime.
I would. It is illegal. It's illegal. I would never read it, but that the
don't fuck your brother.
Don't have sex with your brothers. The author started it, or the person that started it because they didn't. They wanted to have a place where they were like not going to be censored, and they were not going to be told that they couldn't write these things. So that's how AO3 started.
Okay,
and now it's like I think like I don't know any other fanfic websites, but it's like the biggest.
Tumblr
one.
Seems to be one. So a lot of people write stuff on Tumblr.
Put it on Tumblr.
And okay. Then AO3 is the other one. And then there was another, because the girl that writes this one that I started to read, she must be posting from one place and it goes out loads of places.
Oh.
Because it always opens with like, oh, it doesn't matter where you are. Thanks for reading.
Oh, okay, if you're so AO3, if you're a Tumblr. Different things. Okay.
And I came across it because my TikTok.
She was looking for it.
No, I wasn't. My TikTok is like. My TikTok feed is a disgrace.
Just this man?
I can't leave the sound on my phone.
Just this man?
Just this man. With audio of that Quinn app over it.
I don't need to listen to this.
No, you do.
Do it? Okay. I was saying, Sarah Jane, we are now Mills and Boone women.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
I'm totally fine with it.
Don't give a fuck.
Like, we are Mills and Boone women. But yeah, it's crazy.
Graham doesn't have an ounce of...
Strength
left in him. He said, "Sarah, I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. Please
get off me."
Between he and rivalry and this, I can.
But yeah,
I want to watch the football.
Also, I hope England lose tonight. Sorry, England. But yeah, I just think it's wonderful, and I think also like people belittle and make fun of like fanfic people and like people who do art for TV shows, and you know it's always like a joke and ha ha la la la, and I'm like. But this stuff is being done for nothing. Like these, it's the one thing that has to be capitalized. Also, if you think that you're better than fan fiction, if you're watching Twilight, or if you're watching 50 Shades of Grey, or if you're watching a plethora of other movies, these movies were all based on fanfic.
Yeah.
And then were bought and changed into this.
The only thing I'm going to say, you're right. But I also think it's so odd to me if someone gets a spark of creativity out of something else that is creative and someone has created for you to enjoy. Why would you want to diminish that? Like, why would you want to talk shit about it? Like, because there's a ton of art that comes out of this fanfic stuff and people do, like, I, as someone who enjoys doing art, the bit that I've lost as I've gotten older, because I don't have the time, I've lost the bit where you know how to be creative. Or you have your own creative spark, that can be really difficult to maintain.
Of course.
Sometimes this type of thing
kind of brings it
sparks
out.
It in somebody, and then they start like painting or writing or doing anything.
Some of that little bit of like, oh, I love this thing and I want to put this out into the world.
And even this one that I'm reading, there are people now, some of the comments I would say go to therapy. But they've done like playlists and stuff like that where they're
That's so sweet.
I think this playlist would suit. I think this character would listen to this
That's
type of music.
So sweet.
Like, and there's like just a whole community of people listening.
I just think it's wonderful. I think if you write fanfic, amazing. Like, people have done fan art of us. What's the difference? Like, you know what I mean? It's the same fucking thing, like, and I just think it's wonderful. And I just think that community is beautiful. And I think they're doing
new
really
podcast
good
is called Murder Most Fucking.
Honest to God. I wonder if I've asked this before, have we ever, anybody ever written fanfic about us?
No, they haven't. No one wants us
why,
to fuck.
Why would anybody want us to?
You'd what would you be in an Evernote outfit?
I would be with a sheet.
The lights would be off.
Yeah.
Or maybe actually the fanfic would be you finally getting out of it and realizing that you're going to bow me.
No.
I'd write it. I'm over me. It's creative spark in me.
I cured her.
I did a suicide intervention course.
Sarah has been doing a suicide intervention course, and when I tell you, she saved countless people in the last week. So many.
I said to Emma, I'm doing this so you don't kill yourself.
Yeah, but you saved so many.
I'm doing this so I can save Emma.
When you were doing the course, was it like you just watching somebody on, or were you in a room or were you online?
It's online.
Ah, okay.
But you're with other people in the course and you have to do breakout sessions and stuff. You do a lot of role play.
Which one of you is going to kill
yourself? You do a lot of role play. Anybody in here got a plan? What's your plan?
But like when you say role play, is it like, you're like, this person is feeling this way, and then you have to.
No, so there was a lot, like one of the ones was like, so the course I was doing was specifically for work. So the first bit of role play was about like understanding what's a personal boundary, what's a corporate boundary.
And what's a corporate boundary?
So say if you're in work and you think someone is potentially going to kill themselves or is having suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
or someone's struggling. So before you even get to like that extreme level of it, like someone's very stressed or going through a very difficult time, a corporate boundary would be like, hey, have you, like, you asked them, are they okay? And then they maybe start to confide in you.
Okay.
So corporate boundary would be like, you need to flag post them. So you need to like flag post them with HR.
Oh.
And then you also need to recommend if there is anything in the company, which there should be, like an EAP program.
So you will go to HR and be like, I'm concerned.
So you would flag post, if you're really concerned, or if you're their manager in particular, and someone was like, maybe not their normal selves, and you had a one-to-one with them, and they said like, I'm just really stressed. I've got a lot of stuff going on at home. I've got a load of family issues. I'm going through a divorce. Okay. I just can't concentrate and work. Everything feels a bit worthless. I don't really know what's going on. I can't see my kids anymore. That kind of stuff. You would you'd make sure that you're contacting HR to be like, hey, this person's really struggling. And then you might do like a stress risk assessment, which some companies have to be like, where are they on the scale of like, how concerned do you think this is in terms of their mental health? And then you would be in that corporate boundary also saying to them, hey, we have an EAP program, because you're not a professional. You're not.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not. I don't know how to.
You're not a trained, qualified professional. So I've done my mental health first aiders course, which is CIPD, and it's like 3 days long.
Okay.
So I've done that. And now I've done my suicide prevention course. Wow. And the mental health first aiders one is more about the kind of beginnings, all of that stuff at the beginning. But you do that in the suicide intervention one as well, because you have to recognize at what point are you kind of heading into that territory.
Yeah.
And you have to try and like figure, you don't have to try. It's like, you're not going into the workplace to be like, hey, is anybody stressed?
Anybody going to kill themselves?
It's just, are, especially if you're like a manager or a leader or a supervisor or doing one-to-ones with people, you might in those circumstances get into a situation where maybe someone's not performing all of a sudden. And you'd be saying,
you notice like a dramatic change.
Hey, is everything okay? Yeah. And then when you know, it's a, someone might be comfortable confiding. So a corporate boundary is that. Like, I've flag posted them with HR to be like, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Something's going on, you know. And then you'd be saying to them, hey, there's an employee assistance program. Or are you going to talk to your GP about this? Do you have services?
And can HR go to them then? Or is that not a thing? Like, can they say if they need to,
but no, they wouldn't be. HR generally at that point are helping you as their manager.
Okay.
Because they're there for you, kind of. Yeah. So they're making sure that you're, because the other thing that happens is the personal boundary bit is what most normal people do is they go down this route of wanting to help someone, right? Which is natural.
Yeah, of course.
And then they're not your friend, right? Because you're my best friend.
Yeah.
So outside of work, I would be like, this isn't work. And no matter what you need, I'm here to help. But if I started to have that relationship with somebody in work, and then I'm saying to them, I'm available to you 24/7, and here's my personal number, then that's a personal boundary being overstepped. And now you're allowing it to happen because you haven't recognized that's a personal boundary. And you're just, so it's about training people to recognize that that's not always a good thing to do.
Yeah.
We know you want to be helpful, but also you can't be taking this home.
There has to be like a level of like cutting it off. Yeah.
And you have to say to that person, hey, if you need help outside of work, like, you know, there's Samaritan's hotline. Samaritan's hotline? I didn't know this. I don't know if it's just our England, but on the training course I learned, so it was a psychologist that was doing the training course, they don't talk you down.
What do you mean they don't talk you down?
Like, they
don't say, hey, don't do that?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They're just there to kind of offer you support.
Okay.
But they're not like, they're not necessarily going to, they don't kind of go down the route of like, are you going to kill yourself? Yeah, they
for
don't.
Real?
Yeah, they don't go into that. They kind of lead them to the way. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what the thought process is behind
it. Yeah, I didn't know, because the psychologist had really strong feelings about Samaritans.
Yeah, I don't really, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know much about the Samaritans, like, only that what they're there
she
for.
She was like,
they're there to help people.
They're not necessarily stopping suicides. I was like, is that true? I didn't want to be in the course being like, don't talk ill about Samaritans. Yeah, no, I've never had to use their services.
And like, they do wonderful things and they really, help people who are struggling. But I wasn't aware that was...
Now, it might just be an English thing, because I was like, I'm in Ireland, and it sounds like to me an Irish person would be like, are you all right?
Are you all right? What's going on?
Yeah.
Catch on to it. That's what Colin would say to me, isn't it? That's a call it always says to me. Do you know what you could do, Emmy? You could cop on. I'm having the worst day of my life in college. Like, I don't know, you could just get a grip. Maybe that would help. Sometimes that does help, though, when someone says
we didn't start recording, but before we started, me and Emma were talking about how she'd kill herself, and Colin said, well, I'll die from the misery first. I'll die from the misery in this house before you kill yourself.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, the train, it's a tough day. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not easy. And the last, like, role play is the psychologist pretending to be a person that is going...
suicidal.
Yeah, is talking about going to kill themselves and has a plan. And so, and as a group, you kind of all have to do it. And some people don't, like, they don't, but me and another person, like, were like, are you, you know... the other woman that was doing it got a bit stuck, and then the psychologist was like, anybody? And then I was like, so are you that must be really difficult what they were saying was happening. And I was like, and are you okay? And they were like, no, I've lost all hope. And I was like, and do you have any thoughts? Are you going to hurt yourself or hurt others? And then she was like, you can't, no, hurting themselves could be like they're going to go on binge drinking.
Yeah, you have to be, yeah, like,
you have to be,
are you going to kill yourself?
And if they're like, yeah, do you have a plan? Yeah, I've got a rope. Okay, and do you know when you're going to do it? Yes, I'm going to do it. And
Yeah,
and when are you going to do it? Today. And while all that's going on, you need to get another person to ring the guards.
Fuck.
And you're asking them that because some people will use a gun. Some people will jump in front of a train.
You don't
some
know how quickly will... it's going to be a matter of...
And like also, you're trying to make sure that they don't harm anybody else.
Dude, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I would definitely recommend, if you're mentally well enough to do it, I would recommend doing it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you learn and you hope you never have to use.
Of course, but it is something to have in your arsenal to be like, if I can help somebody, I will. I always think of that guy who, I think it's a documentary, where he jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and he survived.
She talked about, he wrote a book.
Yeah, and he did a show as well, I think on Vice, where he talked about how the minute he hit the water,
he was like, I shouldn't have done it. Yeah, and the book he wrote, he speaks to a ton of survivors of suicide, and the overwhelming feeling and the overwhelming commentary is that the minute they attempted it, and the minute they were at the point of death, they were like, this is a terrible idea. Because as like, it's a real cliche thing to say, but it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because at the very beginning when we were doing the training, she was like, I can't remember the question, but it was something about like, do people who are suicidal want to die? And everybody except me was like, yes. And I was like, no. And then she was like, what do you, and I was like, generally, they just want the current situation to end.
Stop. They just want everything
and
to stop.
And sometimes it's just a control mechanism and there's no real, like, they don't actually want to die. No. It's just that they don't see any other way to fix the current problem they're in or the current situation they're in, or their mental health is causing them to be like, nothing else is going to fix this.
It's like that thing, but this is, Bo Burnham did that thing on Netflix. What was it called? Inside. And he said something in the thing on Netflix that I was like, really resonated with me, because I do have suicidal ideation. And he said, I don't want to die. I just want to not be alive for like 12 months.
Mm.
And that is what a lot of people who are experiencing suicidal ideation feel. They're like, I don't necessarily want to die. I just don't want to be around. But in your brain, it's like that, the idea of sometimes even when you're feeling suicidal ideation, you're not even thinking about death.
Yeah.
As you said, you're thinking about the thing stopping.
The nothingness.
Stopping. It's just that feeling stopping. If it goes away, if I do this, it'll go away. But you're not thinking on the other side, well, I'm never coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and I do think as well, with regards to suicidal ideation and with regards to people who do attempt suicide, you know, people are like, oh, they were depressed. I'm like, yeah. But also, the world that we live in, capitalism is literally destroying our souls. There are people out there who cannot afford to feed themselves and feed their children. Yeah. There are people who are having their cars taken away from them because they can't afford their car payments. There are people who are losing their jobs and are like, I can't pay my rent. There are people that are going to be homeless because of capitalism. There are people that are literally in medical debt. There are people taking their own lives when they are in medical debt.
Because they want to spare their families.
And so those things can't be ignored. And the idea of just being like, oh, they're depressed, and saying to someone, oh, hey, you're depressed, it'll get better. You can't really say that to someone who is in the most horrific circumstances.
You had a relative that completed suicide because they were in debt.
Yeah.
Their car was being repossessed.
So it's like, you kind of, people are can be very flippant about the idea of suicide. Like, oh, how could they do that? And that's terrible. People's circumstances a lot of the time can lead to these things. And like,
most, so like, the statistics are that most men, obviously men kill themselves
at a higher rate, right?
They do, yes. However, statistically, women attempt suicide more than men.
Okay.
But it's because we do it in less, like, violent ways.
Or aggressive ways.
So generally, it becomes like a cry for help.
Yeah. It's like,
but it's because they've done it wrong.
Yeah. It's usually things like that, yeah.
Men, and it tends to be men between the age of, like, I think it's 50 and 60. Like, it's like that age group. And women, it's when we hit menopause.
Yeah.
So we tend to be at higher risk for the years of menopause. So it's like 40 to 46, if I remember correctly from, and I could be wrong about that, but it's in and around that time. Yeah. Men tends to be all things like their marriage is broken down, they can't pay the children's allowance, they're not seeing their children, they have alcohol, they have a higher alcohol consumption rate than women, so they have higher alcohol dependency, they're in debt, gambling debt,
yeah.
All of those things tend to contribute to men's suicide rates more than women.
Okay.
And that's societal, right? Yeah. Because there is a belief that they should be, that's what their role is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, as this is kind of very heavy, but
no, I think it's an interesting and worthwhile thing to do. And it's a good thing to talk about, I think, because a lot of the time suicide is such a kind of a thing that people don't even want to.
People just get really scared about it. And like, there's a whole thing as well culturally where there's like entire sections, like traveling community have a higher rate of suicide in men than, like, you know, our demographics.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about mental health at all.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's a complete taboo. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to, because I think as well, obviously for men, a lot of men in this, like, overly masculine culture, talking about how you're feeling is seen as like weakness.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, MMI fans. Want to get exclusive access to a whole archive of extra content and support the show at the same time? Then go to www.patreon.com/murdermostirish and sign up for only €6 a month. Featuring over 200 Patreon exclusive episodes, including MMI Drive, Colin Cut This Out, Murder Most International, Miscellaneous Most Irish, Music Most Awesome, and many more. We would like to thank everyone who subscribes to our Patreon. Your donation keeps our show going, and we literally couldn't do it without you. Thank you for being a friend.
Give my mommy six.
Which actually, even I'm reading that book, as I said, the Columbine book, and it's interesting because the principal of that school, there's like two times where he goes and talks to everybody very publicly, and the first time he just like can't. He's just so overwhelmed with grief, and he feels really guilty. And then he's asked to speak again, and there's a bit where his people are giving him recommendations of what he should do, because he's like going to talk to all these people and all these kids, and the amount of his friends that are like, you can't cry, that's a sign of weakness. Yeah. And then there's a psychologist, there's someone in anyway that says to him, actually, they need to be told that it's okay for them to
cry. Literally, like, it's okay. They need to be told that
it's okay for them to feel an emotion.
Like, the trauma of that alone, to tell somebody, you know, you shouldn't feel. But there was like that family in it that, I believe it was the daughter. One of the daughters and the, I don't know if you've gotten to this part, but the mother and father wouldn't let her go to therapy because they wouldn't talk about it. They just were like, we're not talking about this. And weirdly enough, there's a book called Helter Skelter. Now, this is obviously back in the 70s, so this is a totally different frame, but it's not like between Helter Skelter and Columbine is not that far. It's like 25 years. Yeah. So it's not that big of a difference. Like, but obviously Helter Skelter is about, what you call him, the serial killer whose name has completely escaped me now.
Charles Manson?
Yeah, Charles Manson. And one of his victims was a young girl, and one of the victims that they did, one of the guys that worked for Charles Manson, raped her, and she got away and went back to her parents and told her what happened, and they told her to shut up and not tell anybody. Mm. And not talk about it, because mental health is like, You know, and when I was growing up, we would hear this term on their nerves.
On their nerves, yeah.
You heard that as well? Yeah. Oh, she's on her nerves.
We had a lady 2 doors down from us that was frequently taken into Lomas.
Yes, they're on her nerves.
And they would be like, oh, you know, she suffers with her nerves.
And like this shame about it. Like, oh, she's in Lomas.
Yeah.
She's in Lomas because the poor woman is mentally ill and very sick. And we have compartmentalized it to on her nerves. Like people, it's insane the way people like Columbine alone, like, the damage that was done to people in that school and obviously in the town as well, I don't think it can be quantified.
I don't think so either. Like, obviously Columbine happened, very early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, I knew it happened. Everybody knew it happened.
Yeah, I remember watching the video of Patrick Ireland.
I never seen that video before until I started reading that
book. Climbing out the window. I remember watching it on the news.
I watched it last night and Graham was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay.
So upsetting.
And then I was talking to him this morning about it and I was like, when you watch the video and read the book, because the book goes through what his internal narrative and then what's actually happening to him, and then there's the actual scene, which then they recognize that it took him about 3.5 hours to actually get
to the window
because he was so confused and so disorientated, but internally his brain wasn't doing that. To him it was really clear in his mind what he was doing. I cried heart out.
I remember seeing it on the news when it happened, and then I remember he was on Oprah.
Yeah.
Oprah did an episode about Columbine, and I remember seeing it again on Oprah and just not even feeling like it was real, that video. Like, I was like, this is not real. Like, the trauma of that poor chap, like, what happened to him? What happened to all of them? Like, it doesn't bear thinking about. Like, I don't understand, because when you see that, when you read that, and then you think about things that happened in Sandy Hook and all the various school shootings that there have been throughout the years, including in Scotland and Australia and New Zealand and all those places, and the American government will argue to the ground that it's not gun law and it's not gun reform, yet when it happened in Scotland they shut down the sale of guns, when it happened in Australia they got rid of weapons, and when it happened in New Zealand they did the same, and there's been no mass shootings. Because they were like, we have to stop this at the source, which is the ability for young people, a lot of the time, to be able to walk out and buy a fucking weapon. Mm. Not like a like a fucking automatic weapon that can kill 15 people in 3 seconds. And apparently that's not the problem. Like, reading that book, it took me a couple of months to finish it because I just kept putting it down because I was like, I'm so angry.
I've done really well. When did I tell you I started it?
Was it last week you started the audiobook?
I'm in like chapter 20.
Yeah, last week.
23. So I am sticking with it, but that's because I've got ADD, and once I get into something I can't stop. But it is very upsetting.
It's deeply upsetting.
And I was listening to the audio. So I'm reading it and listening to the audiobook. Like, so when I'm not reading, I'm listening to the audiobook. And it's just you're not like, it's just, I kind of hadn't quantified the trauma because of the way this as a shooting happened, and because it was meant to be a terrorist attack, in terms of it was meant to blow up,
meant to be a bomb,
it was meant to be multiple bombs, and it was meant to kill a minimum of 500 people before they started shooting.
Like, they wanted to blow that school to pieces. Yeah. That was their plan.
And that I kind of hadn't registered.
But it was never talked about.
Yeah. And then the stuff that just immediately happens in the aftermath, and how, like, that man, when he's talking about his son, Danny, just in the snow outside the school. And he's like, and he learned from a news article, which just was a picture of his dead son in the quadrant in the school.
Like, him and his wife
went to get his body.
But you remember the part where standing over the walls with like binoculars
trying to see. Yeah. And then the other family as well are standing over. They're the Christian family.
Yeah.
And they're looking to see, and the mom just doesn't believe, no matter what is said, that her daughter is dead. And then you've got all of the religious fanatics that the next day in the central point where the families and all of the school children are like essentially told to go to await like further information and to essentially meet the police and the FBI to do like 30 minute investigative chats with. There are Scientologists with leaflets. There are evangelicalists with leaflets.
When I tell you,
they're dropping Bibles in and around.
The Jehovah's were out.
Yeah.
They will strike at people's
and they open
vulnerable
all
moments.
Of the churches yeah. for ad hoc
yeah.
kind of hangout sessions. They've got leaflets where they're like free therapy, hot chocolate.
Like,
cookies.
And I'm going to be honest with you, these people are not trying to help. They're just trying to
sign you up.
They're literally just trying to get you into their
yeah,
religion.
It's a recruitment
that
drive.
Really pissed me off. And also the girl who, remember the whole debacle about
yeah.
the girl who apparently one of the, I think it was Dylan said to her, do you believe in God? And she said yes, and he shot her.
And that's not true.
That was complete lie. And then the poor girl that knew it was a complete lie. And then was like, I don't know what to do
yeah.
with this information, but they've created an entire fucking cult around this girl now.
Yeah.
And they're being like, putting her up as the next Jesus. And it's not fair to do that to her because in life she did not do that.
Yeah.
And you're lying about her.
And even
she's
the boy Danny who ends up in the quadrant shot and the picture is like all the kids hunkered behind the police car. There was a myth that went around him about him keeping the door open.
Yeah.
And then it was like not true.
Not true.
And the thing that got me in that story where they were like, it was almost like his death wasn't
heroic enough.
A tragedy enough.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
have to make
we
this.
We create these stories
it's
around
a,
them.
Like he's a 16-year-old boy who was 2 weeks away from graduating and starting a full-time job in his dad's business. And he was shot
yeah.
and bled out mm. at school.
And you're trying to
behind parents' homes
yeah. and you're trying to make it that it's not tragic enough
and you're
for
trying
you.
To somehow
people are disgusting
make it more tragic
people are disgusting
and I just felt like that I was like and you know what I felt like in the moment when I was reading it I was like I know people do that and they don't even think that they're just like they don't even recognize that no. that's what they're doing like it was just and then the kids being on the phone to live media while
yeah.
they're stuck in the school
insane
Bleeding to death on the whiteboard.
Like,
I just was
that
like...
poor teacher as well. I always felt for him that was left alone in the room.
The science
today.
Teacher.
Yeah, like, that broke my heart. There's just so much. There's so many little things and so many things that happened that immediately the vultures, the media, the religious organizations just absolutely devoured that town to get whatever scraps they could out of them. But then there were incredible educators and teachers who wanted the best for the kids and tried their best for them. And there were incredible parents who did the same. And then obviously Dylan Klebold's parents and, what was the girl's name? Dylan and
Eric.
The level of empathy I have, not empathy, sympathy I have for their parents because they didn't want this. They didn't ask for this. They didn't want their kids to go and mass shoot people in their fucking school.
And the entire, like, you're right. That whole argument about nature versus nurture as well really comes in with the two of them because mm-hmm. like two of them had very similar upbringings in a way that they were both like the younger son.
Yes.
They both had like Dylan's family had more money than Eric's
yeah.
family, but they both had very stable family
yeah,
situations.
Stable family lives, yeah.
They didn't come from violent homes.
Nope.
Their fathers weren't abusive. Eric's father definitely had discipline because he was a military
man. He was a military kind
but
of thing,
the discipline
yeah.
was like, you're going to lose privilege and then we're going to discuss what
yeah.
you did.
Which is fair parenting. Like,
yeah,
they,
but
he wasn't,
Eric, there's something wrong with that, Eric.
Yeah, no, he was not well and that was just so
yeah.
obvious. I think Dylan got swept up in
yeah.
Eric's kind of...
It's really odd because Dylan's like, mum is Jewish.
Yeah.
And Eric was a fucking
as
Nazi.
Anti-Semite and a racist and like all of these things. And it's
but
like...
But I had black friends.
I had black friends. I just... He was... That boy was escalating and you could see it. You know, obviously they've been arrested before for trying to set off bombs.
They were arrested before for
theft.
And then they were... He had been...
He was building bombs in his garage and stuff like that. So he had been like... It was escalating.
But
like
he had written that like 10 pages.
Oh, the manifesto.
About the girl.
Yeah, about the girl,
and then
yeah.
the girl's family. So he'd been also talked like on kind of the police were aware of him because of that. He had incel behaviour.
Like the fucking OG incel.
Yeah,
because
he was desperate to like he was desperate for her to have a date for
yeah,
the prom.
Like,
just more for but he was a virgin and no one had done anything.
And when you think about it,
him.
That sort of stuff is so it's so clandestine. It's so childish. I don't have a date for the prom and then it turns into I don't have a date for the prom. I'm going to shoot everybody.
Yeah.
Like You could tell, not saying that Dylan wasn't part of it, he was 50% of it.
Yeah.
He did this shit. But you could tell, like as you said the other day, where you were like, Dylan didn't think this was going to go through.
No, sure, literally the day before Columbine happens. So they get up at 5 a.m. on the morning of Columbine and they meet at their rendezvous point. They set up bombs in different areas because the whole idea was that there was going to be this one bomb in an area away from the school, and that was going to distract all of the police and paramedics' attention. It was going to go off, not harm anybody, but it was going to cause this great big stir. And then that would mean that they would cause mass destruction at this school. And they had these propane tanks and pipe bombs. So they had built propane bombs, and they, like, the two of these propane bombs were going to essentially take out the pillars that were holding the cafeteria and the library up. So they were, and they had timed it because they had done time and motion studies. Mm-hmm. Eric had, of sitting in the cafeteria at, because there's an A, B, C, and D lunchtime, and quantifying when the most amount of people were in the canteen.
Like this boy,
yeah,
was like, I want to kill people.
And then set up the time on these bombs to go off at the exact time where the time of motion study had said the most amount of people would be in the cafeteria. Yeah. And the library is right above that, so the most amount of people would be in the library as well, because a lot of kids didn't do their homework for second period, so they would go to the library and do their second period homework. And thankfully, and mercifully, they didn't go off.
They didn't go off.
But that boy Dylan had the day before, like, he's getting up at 5 a.m. to do this. He is sending in his fantasy baseball updates for games that have not been played yet.
Yeah.
In terms of his predictions.
Mm-hmm. Like, he genuinely thought,
I just don't think his full frontal cortex had developed in any way where he understood. Was
like almost a fantasy for them, that they were going to do this crazy stuff, and it just escalated.
And then to prove the point that he just kind of went along with it and got wrapped up in it, is when the two of them had two different points. So the other thing is that they weren't together.
Mm.
So one parked in one car park and the other parked in the other car park. And the point of that was that when the bombs go off, kids are going to run out of this exit out of the school, and they would be positioned in what's called a flank territory. So they would never be in danger of shooting each other.
No, but they could just pick people off.
But they could pick people off. Yeah. And what they think happened is when the bombs didn't go off, or what they know happened from all the kind of investigative, the only time Eric seems to have left that post is they reckon he must have went to Dylan.
To Dylan.
To be like, because they think that, and apparently in these types of behavioural and in these types of roles where there are two people that are doing a thing together, there is always a weaker of the two.
Of course. There's always a leader.
Psychologically, yeah, there's always a leader. Yeah. So they reckon that he went and tried to essentially get Dylan back outside. Right, we're going to go in.
Yeah.
So then they went into the area just outside the cafeteria, but up above it, which was connected to the library, and they started to throw pipe bombs and started to shoot.
Like, what?
Columbine's insane.
What's going on?
It's an insane crime. And it's not insane for, it's in, like, school shootings, unfortunately, in this day and age in America,
have been fully normalized.
Yeah, have been fully normalized. But Columbine is a school shooting that, one, in terms of like the level of violence and destruction that they were hoping and then did end up doing, it just is like a level of violence and a level of like extreme casualty numbers that isn't like anything that comes before it.
No. It's so...
And then there's this weird online cult of like romanticizing these two boys.
They love them.
And they hate this author.
Yeah, they hate him because he obviously was like, they had created in their heads this fantasy of these two like bad boys who were bullied and they were treated so badly.
These guys were not
they
bullied.
Were not bullied.
They weren't even outsiders.
No, like they had friends. They weren't being like regularly bullied.
Dylan
in school.
Was quite athletic.
Yeah.
Because
they had created this whole idea of them heads of like the goth weirdos who are being picked on and finally took their revenge. And then for Dave Cullen to come in and be like, "That none of that is true."
No.
Categorically, none of that is true.
Yeah.
This was a very, very mentally ill boy, which is not an excuse. I'm not saying it to be an excuse, but there was psychopathy or there was sociopathy. There was something going on with him. Because even when you, like the succession of how it escalated to what it did, he had no compassion. There was no part of him that went, I shouldn't do this. He was like, I'm going to kill these people.
Yeah.
Two very, very fucked up individuals who decided to do a very fucked up thing because they wanted to. And because, unfortunately, they live in a country where you can walk into a Walmart and buy an assault rifle.
Yeah, like how they got the guns is insane.
Like that girl that got the, was it the first weapon for them that she got?
She got the shotguns. And she, all they needed for the fair was to be over 18.
Yeah.
And the shotguns were so old that they didn't have serial numbers
on them.
And the law didn't require the person to sell, that was selling them, to register yeah. who he was selling them to. So they were pretty much untraceable, only for she came forward and was like, I got the guns.
Yeah.
And if she hadn't have done that, I don't think they would have been able to figure out that it was her. But she had kind of confessed to a couple of people.
She told a couple of people.
So
yeah.
I think she kind of...
She knew eventually it was going to come back.
And then
her,
the other guy, what was his name? Anyway, he worked with them in the fucking pizza place.
Oh, and then
he'd gotten them fucking ammunition.
Ammunition bullets.
And then they were going around like stealing propane tanks. They were going to... The other thing that I found really bizarre is that I didn't... But over here, you can't buy propane, a lighter.
Yeah, somebody be like, what are you doing?
Well, you're ID'd.
Yeah, you're ID'd.
You have to be over 18. Like,
what are you... You have to be ID'd to buy knives.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking crazy.
Can't buy matches. If I bring matches to live, like, at my Tesco shop, they come over and ask, and they're like, oh, so we have to ID you.
Which idea? Like, it's...
The idea that those two guys walked into a fucking Target.
Yeah.
And on the, like, they looked for advances in their pay.
Yeah.
And in those advances in their pay, they walked into a Target and bought, like, fucking 4 propane tanks. Yeah. And no one was like, what are these kids doing with propane tanks?
Why are there 17-year-olds buying 4 propane tanks?
Fucking propane
tanks. It's just
America is a problem, yeah, Emma. You were right.
It is. And unfortunately, it is. Because... the whole way, like, the country is set up from the fucking beginning anyway to be like, to still look at a constitution like the right to bear arms. Yeah, in the 1700s. What are you... I'm sorry. Are we living back then? What are you fucking talking about? That's ridiculous. It is 2026.
Mm.
You do not need a semi-automatic weapon.
Mm.
You are not fighting anybody. Like, it's just... And then to watch those poor families beg the government to help. Beg, say, please do something. This is going to happen again. And it did, and it did, and it did.
And it is.
And it is, and it is. And for them to be laughed at by the NRA. Laughing at them.
Oh, sorry, for the NRA to show up.
Oh, my God.
The same year that the travesty happens and hold their conference.
In
Littleton.
Yeah.
Is... How...
They do not care about your dead children.
How the parents of those kids didn't do what Dylan and Eric did to the NRA conference.
Burn that to the fucking ground. Like, to watch them mock these people
yeah.
and laugh at them. Jeer at...
Over my dead body.
Jeer at a family whose son had their brains blown out on a concrete slab in the snow and they couldn't get his body. And your ugly ass is laughing at these people?
Yeah.
And it's still happening. They're still laughing at you.
Like
recently, somebody I kind of know took their own life in a horrific manner. Horrific manner. And this person owned guns. And I know that's what they did. And every part of me is like, why did you have guns? Would you have done this if the access to that weapon wasn't so readily available?
Yeah.
Would you have done this if you had to go and buy a rope or you had to take a load of pills or you had to do... Would you have done this if you could just pick up that thing that's at the bottom of your bed and put it in your mouth?
Mm.
Why do you need guns?
Mm.
You live in a fucking cul-de-sac in Middletown, America. Why do you need guns? No one is coming for you. But they have created this fear.
Yeah.
They make people afraid. They keep you afraid. I know I sound like Michael Moore right now, but they do. Fear is so potent. If you tell people, oh, they're coming for you. There's someone coming to your house.
Mm.
They're going to kill your children. They're going to rob you. They're going to blah, blah. Of course they're going to go out and buy guns. Your entire media When you we're in America and we're watching the news and it's like, this is News 7. There are three people shot outside a convenience store. This is News 7. There's a massive car chase and the blah, blah. Just constant fear.
Yeah.
They are scaring you to death. And it is disgusting to watch. Like, I'll turn on the RTE news and obviously we'll see horrible things happening.
But also we'll see,
hey,
this duck had to cross the road.
But even at that thing, you know, when American News does that and they're like, six people were shot in a hospital, six people were shot in a school yesterday, and in the end they're like, look at this dog. What are we doing? Like, as who said, when Sandy Hook happened and they did nothing, they were like, that's it.
Yeah.
We are done. They shot preschoolers.
Hmm.
Nothing will ever change. And they were completely correct. I can't remember who said that, but somebody said that. They were like, maybe it was, no, it wasn't. Is that, I think it was that kid that is lobbying for gun control. And imagine being a person being like, I'm lobbying for gun control because I don't want people to get shot in school because I got shot in school. And you have people sending you death threats online.
That's crazy. And it, like, honestly, that book is a revelation.
Yeah, if you get a chance.
It gives you, it's a tough read, don't get me wrong.
Incredibly but hard to read.
An incredibly detailed, it picks apart every facet of the investigation, every facet of every person that was impacted or involved, every untrue martyr dies statement, story, legend. It picks apart the entire thing. Because I like, it, there's stuff about that shooting. Because again, I didn't live in a family that were like massively into the news.
That sort of thing, yeah.
Right? So like my parents were like, oh my God, that's awful. But there was no discussion around it. And I didn't realize all of the, like, I didn't know anything about that girl that said the Jesus thing. I didn't really, never seen the Patrick Ireland thing.
Yeah.
I never seen the whiteboard about the bleeding to death. I never realized that they were live on the TV because it was the first school shooting with cell phones.
Literally.
And most of the kids in that school were from like affluent parents.
Yeah.
So
they all had phones.
I never realized any of that. But I remember watching Bowling for Columbine. I remember the Satan is here in Littleton and all of that shit. And blaming I remember Satan, blaming Doom, the video game. Because I was like, I play Doom.
They blame Doom.
And I don't want to shoot anybody in the school.
They blame Marilyn Manson. Fuck Marilyn Manson for other reasons, but they blame Marilyn Manson.
But here's the thing. They weren't massive Marilyn Manson fans.
No!
They ran into German industrial music.
They were like, not, this is the thing, immediately, fuck Marilyn, just preface this, fuck Marilyn Manson to the back teeth. But what I will say is the way they targeted that man was fucking baffling. I was like, what the fuck does Marilyn Manson have got to do with this? Like, nothing, like, I will say that Michael Moore documentary is ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Like, it's brilliant. He did a fantastic job. He really did an incredible job. But it is, it's, oh, I don't know, man. I just think I realize how privileged I am to live in this country and how, not even privileged, not lucky. I just think we live in a country where this is not normal.
No.
And it will never be normal. And we will never let it become normal.
No. Like after Dunblane happened.
Oh, immediately the Scottish government were like,
but you're here, not that had ripple guns. Effects here.
Yeah,
I was in school guns. When Dunblane happened, and all of a sudden, the primary school I was in, they put like this cage.
You told me this,
around our door, and you had to like ring the bell to get in, and the school had like a really clear like security like protocol put in place, and not anybody could come into the school
unless you were like no,
yeah,
or
like
whatever,
it was
yeah.
just like and. That like and that didn't even happen here.
No, and like I remember like Dunblane was, oh fuck man, that shit was fucking horrific as well. But like the government immediately stepped up and were like, "You bitches, aren't getting guns."
Mm.
When it happened in Australia, they had like a massive thing where they were like, "Hey, bring their guns. We're getting rid of them."
Mm.
And they did it when that attack happened on the Muslim community in New Zealand.
Mm.
Jacinta was like, bye-bye guns.
Yeah.
Why not bye-bye guns? Like, why do you need... Once again, it's so rotten from the core. It's so rotten from the core.
I do. Like, it must be a state of, like... Like you said, it's just a state of fear that must be One, killing you.
Killing you. Eating you. It's eating them from the inside. Like.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, everybody's going to try to kill you. Get a gun. Also, you have no health insurance. And if you get cancer, you're going to die because you can't afford the medicine. Mm-hmm. But get a gun. Get a gun. You should get a gun. What are you?
Mm.
Like, to fucking, I don't understand. Yeah. I genuinely, and I don't say this to be like, haha, America, I'm not laughing at America. I'm saying this is just tragic.
Yeah.
Like, every day, I thank whoever is up there that my mother did not move to America before she had me. Because fuck that shit.
I know for your family did, actually.
Yeah. And like, even people who have their kids in school.
Oh, man.
Like, your kids are going to school and doing gun drills.
Yeah.
Mass shooting drills. Putting fucking bulletproof shit in their backpacks. Why are you not burning it down?
Yeah.
But then I understand why they're not burning it down. Because it's like, you live in a country where if you refuse to do something, they're going to send the National Guard into your streets.
Yeah, yeah.
They're gonna fire you. You don't have insurance anymore. You can't pay for anything. If somebody in your family gets sick, you can't look after them.
Yeah.
I understand. They have you caged.
Yeah.
Everything has a repercussion, which is just awful. Like, I understand why people are leaving. Like, I get it.
Oh, I do too.
And my heart breaks for you because some of the best, coolest, most interesting, creative, beautiful people are from the United States. Like, most of our media when we were growing up for some
reason. Oh my God, yeah.
Shaped us.
Yeah, yeah, shaped us.
Music that we listened to. Like, books we read.
Yeah, just like the you know? Global impact America had on the world.
Like, culturally. Culturally. And, you know.
Yeah, like, to like the smallest, minute thing. Like, I remember you saying to me, I just wanted a brown paper bag in the shopping store.
But I would see people in movies walking out with it. I was like, oh my God, I want this.
You know,
like,
we have been,
you know, there's incredibly amazing people in that country that have been reduced to these parodies because your government is so fucked and it has poisoned people. People are poisoned because of it. And it's just so fucking sad.
It is like really, really poisoned.
Oh, it's poisoned, dude. It's like, rotten from the core.
It's heartbreaking to watch.
It is.
And we love the States. I love going to America.
I love going to America.
And for me as well, I know I was saying this a while ago, because I grew up with like, my aspirations were low. You know, like what I could achieve were low. But like, I love, you got the spirit though. I know, but I love watching. Like, I say to you, I was like, I'm so proud of myself when I watch things. I'm like, I was there.
I could go there.
I
could
go to CVS.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's just little things. Like, when we go to New York, we have
the best time.
Bro, we have the best time of our life when we're in New York. And we get along really well with everybody. And we love the people. They get along very well with us. We have no, I know we talk shit about America. Just please know we are just talking about the fact that
you have to live in
this. You have to live in this.
Yeah.
And it fucking breaks my heart that you have. Like, I have family in the States. And I'm just like, sweet Jesus. And obviously we see the worst of everything. We always see the worst of everything. We always see the terribleness and the badness and the awfulness. We don't see the goodness as much. And that is absolutely what's happening. But at the same time, to wake up every day and be like, I don't know if I'm sending my child to school to get shot in the head, is a fear that I
do not know.
And then because of that, they're like, well, why don't we arm the teachers?
Yeah. The whole time, while I've been reading the book. God. Yeah, the whole time while I've been reading the book, I've just been thinking.
Is your teacher John Wick?
Yeah, like my Lily's 11, and she's the idea that I would have to sit in a rendezvous point and wait for buses
to see if my child gets alive,
and the idea that the very last people that were sitting in there were told there was one more bus coming, and there wasn't. And that they knew, the parents didn't know, but the person that had to tell them knew that there was no bus coming, and all of the parents in this room are...
Parents of dead children.
And I can't tell them because the bodies haven't been, what's the word? Where you go in and, like, witness the body.
Oh, they haven't been, like, identified.
And then the last bus that never came, what those parents were asked were, go home and get the dental records for your kids, please. When I say sobbing,
what do we do?
Sitting, drinking a cup of tea, reading it, and just thinking, as a parent,
how do you have kids.
How do you leave and then
go get
the dental records for your children? And we can't tell you if they're alive or dead.
Yeah, when I was...
And there's no more buses coming.
There are no more buses. Like, when I was reading that part of the parents standing there and been like looking at children getting off the bus.
Yeah.
And every child, your heart is sinking because
you're like, where's my... And there is like this adulation because you're happy for the person, people that you know, and it's their child.
Terrified.
But you're still like, where's my baby? And all you can do is wait. All you can do is sit there. And then you've got these frantic parents that are like, do I stay here? Did they make a home? Because a lot of kids left the campus.
They just went. And they ended up in
other people's houses.
Yeah.
There's one family that had like 200 kids in their house. While the shooting was happening. And so then you're ringing your home messaging service to see if your kid has left a message. And over again...
And then the government will stand there and tell you that there's not a gun problem.
Yeah, hopes and prayers.
Hopes and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
I just was like, I don't know how.
No, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. I don't have kids. But as a human being reading that, it made me panicked when I was reading it. I was like, I don't understand how you do this. Like,
I don't understand how they do. I don't understand how they remain strong. I don't know how they remain strong. I would just fall apart. I would just die.
Of course.
Like, I would just not be able to function.
You saw families falling apart after, husbands and wives falling apart.
Divorce.
Drug addiction. Alcoholism.
Suicide.
The impact of what happened to these people is still happening.
Yeah.
There are still people suffering from the impact of what happened in Columbine. And there are also people still suffering because there's idiots out there trying to replicate it.
Oh, there's idiots thinking it's a conspiracy. There's a third shooter and they never got him.
What are you fucking talking about? Shut up.
These guys came in dressed one way, took off their clothes part of the way. That's the confusion that happened.
That's it, yeah.
And one of them changed their baseball caps.
That's literally all that it was. Yeah. And they're like, there's these third shooter people.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Employment, indeed.com. That's what you should be on. Not YouTube, indeed.com. Like, I just, these conspiracy, like, but even what Alex Jones did to those poor families of Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Regretting it now, motherfucker, you're broke.
Yeah.
They took all of your money. But like what he did to those families, like, it's, anyway. Also, can I just say, fuck Conor McGregor. I hope both of his legs break off. Rest in piss, Lindsey Graham. All the sex workers that you were using, the trans sex workers that you've been using for the last 30 fucking years, whose rights you were taking away, can come out and talk shit about you now that the NDA is gone, because your bitch ass is rotten in hell. Also, I learned why they called him Ladybird and I wanted to throw up.
What is it? Why did they call him that?
So apparently they called him Ladybird because his ass and asshole and crotch were so covered in moles that it looked like he'd little ladybirds crawling all over himself. So he just covered in moles, his whole crotchular area and his ass and asshole. That's what you get. Rest in piss. Rot, you piece of fucking garbage. And all the Kamala Harris. My thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers of Palestine, Kamala.
Yeah.
But we should have voted for her. Should we? Should we have voted for her?
Like.
Anyway, fuck Lindsey Graham. And I hope that other prick's going soon as well. Mitch McConnell. He's already
dead.
Also,
dead.
That AI.
He's dead!
See the AI fuck?
Yeah! It's fucking... If he's not dead, he's
sitting in the hospital bed with his jeans and a shirt.
Like...
What the fuck are we doing? Like, oh my God, he is dead. His wife has fled, by the way. She's gone back to China, I believe. So she's gone back to China and all his kids deleted their social media. That man is dead because they knew what was coming. Like, the memes are coming. But yeah, also fuck Conor McGregor and fuck anybody who supports Conor McGregor. And if you are dating somebody that likes Conor McGregor, dump them. And I said what I said. He is a fucking piece of garbage. His little knee. Oh.
Yeah. No. Even God can't stand Conor McGregor.
The thing that I put up to was almost like, even his legs can't stand him.
Even his legs can't stand him. Anyway, we're going to end this week's episode of the podcast because we have to go record a Patreon now.
Oh, yeah. How long has this been?
A while. We've talked about a lot.
How do I know?
It should say the time on it.
Where? Oh, 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's loads, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
loads. But before we go, okay. I do want to say that if you're interested in Dr. Jack Abbott from The Pit,
the
fanfic I am reading is Crash Course.
Who's the writer?
I can't say that this is the handle.
FXC King Joe. Oh, fucking Joe.
Fucking Joe.
So it's fucking Joe, but it's spelled FXC King Joe. Let's see what some of the tags are. Widow Jack Abbott. Reader is low-key genius, like deadass. They call her Doctorpedia. Age difference. Amputee Jack Abbott. Explicit sexual content. Loss of virginity. Jack Abbott is Reader's best friend's dad. Jack Abbott is downed bad. DBF Jack Abbott. Don't know what that means. Pittsburgh.
DBF?
Yeah, what's DBF?
I don't know anything.
Dr. Big. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Center, PTMC Rooftop, CW Death of a Parent, Daddy Issues. So Sarah's currently reading that, if anybody's interested.
And Columbine. I'm doing two things at once.
She needs a reprieve from the awfulness, so she's reading Jack Abbott.
But I think it's a really good thing that I'm reading.
It's fantastic. Ah. Hey, everybody read. If you're just reading fan fiction, that's wonderful. If you're just reading the newspaper, that's wonderful. Everybody read, because the fascists don't want you to read and learn. Read, 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 learn, learn, learn. It's fantastic.
Anyway, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I'm thoroughly enjoying the Quina.
Will you send me the link of this?
Yes,
I'm
sure. The Quina.
Does he fuck women in it?
Yeah, you're not going to be into it.
No, I'm not. I fully am. My brain has
There are moments in this, by the way, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have said that.
Brain chemistry.
Hey, I'm not into this.
My brain chemistry has been wired because of heat rivalry. And
he calls her sweetheart, and my vagina goes,
I can't. Stop it. Sweetheart is like,
give it over.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't actually.
Call me a slut. Or don't speak to me.
I'm going to be really honest. I don't care for her.
Okay. Who is she?
I don't know.
She does not have a name. We don't care.
I don't care.
We care about this woman.
I care about the man.
The man.
And that's it.
And that's it. And that's, well, at least you know what? Yeah. You're honest about it. And so if anybody wants to read a fanfic, what's it called again? Anyway, Sarah,
Crash Course.
Crash Course by Fucking Joe, spelled FXCKING.
And I think she's great. And I
would, we love her.
I've given her several kudos.
Oh, I've never left a kudo.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should start doing that. I don't leave a kudo. Okay, I will start doing that.
That sounds very self-deprecating.
I read one the other day with a foot thing, and I was like, this is not for me, but.
Yeah, no, she sent me a foot one.
It's kind of hot because it's them, but I'm not into
She sent me the foot thing.
Male Birth.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, tell me about that.
I read a male birth.
I think we talked about that in the Patreon.
I did. I read a male birth. What's the other? I read one recently that it was like, oh, so there's this thing that they do called AUs, which is alternative universes. So it basically means they take the characters from like Heated Rivalry and they put them in an alternative universe. And I'm reading one at the moment and it's called Drag Hunt. It's so
What's good. Happening?
I can't say.
No, you do need to say, this is an over 18s
Here
podcast.
We go. So Drag Hunt, the basis of Drag Hunt is that.
Say that fast.
The basis of Drag Hunt.
Okay.
Drag Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
D-R-A-G, separate word, H-U-N-T. So Shane is still a hockey player, but he's retired because he gets
he's
injured.
Older.
He gets injured, so he has to retire.
Oh, okay.
So
that's what happened to me.
That is what happened to you. Sarah's been out for her because of her injury.
I got retired, had to quit Amazon.
He moves to the UK because he's like, I don't want to live over here anymore because everybody is expecting me to go back to hockey and I can't go back to hockey and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, internal dialogue, whatever. So he moves to the UK and he starts running. He does like running.
Oh.
Running. And then one day he's running and I can't remember what happened. He's running anyway and he's running through this field and he bumps into, he falls and these dogs chase after him. Now, they don't attack him or anything. They're just like running around him in circles and stuff like that. And then this guy obviously comes up and it's Ilya. So Ilya in this is like just a dude who lives in the UK. He's like an immigrant, but he keeps horses and dogs. But they do this thing, which is a real thing that I didn't know, where they train dogs to hunt people. It's like a game. But the dogs don't attack you or anything. But like they give you a map. They're like, you have to run this and I'm going to set the dogs loose at this particular time. And they have to find you. But if you outrun them, you win.
Is this so that they train them how to find people?
Yeah, it's pretty much like it's just like a game. There's a name for it. It's not Drag Hunt.
I go to the local breakfast place.
So when they run after them, obviously the person keeps treats in their pocket and then they give them the treats.
Oh, okay.
And then that's how the dogs understand that they're running after the person to get treats.
Okay.
So it's like a thing. But it's a real thing. Oh my God, it's so filthy.
Oh, okay.
It's filthy!
Is it?
And I'm loving every second of it. And there's 14 chapters and there's going to be 18 chapters and every day I'm refreshing.
Well, this one has 13 and she releases them every Friday.
Oh, she is a godsend, a blessing.
Yeah, she releases them every Friday.
I love that we're both reading fan fiction. Yeah!
If anybody has any other fan fiction recommendations, I will say what I did learn this week is foot wanking's not for me.
No, I'm not into the foot stuff, but you know, fair play if you are.
I don't have a problem with it.
No issue.
It just,
the two of us are putting our hands on the thing. Before you foot freaks start coming for us. Maybe think about going and wanking about a foot first before you come over here.
Just not for me.
No beef.
She described his feet in great detail in the one you sent me.
Yeah, she's in, like, sometimes when you're reading it, you're like,
why did I text you? I said,
yeah, this is what you're into. You're into
all right, fucking,
but you're not for me.
What's his face? Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, Finch feet are not for me, but I say
Shanice Tarantino over here.
Quintana Tarantino, mad into the feet. But yeah, everybody, sorry, this is quite a dark episode.
It was, but actually, yeah, but I thought it was needed, and I think it might have made you feel better.
Yeah, it did make me feel better. I'm glad you came over. But yeah, thank you once again.
Stop being a crazy bitch.
Hey, Colin, hey, on to yourself.
Hey, Colin,
just
hop
on. Just hop on.
I know we shouldn't joke about this, but do you have a plan?
No plan.
Is it rocks in the pockets?
It is rocks in the pockets. Well, if it was ever, it would be rocks in the pockets.
Here's what I'll say, but that's never going to happen because I wouldn't go to the
beach. Yeah, I'm not going to the beach.
Actually, foolproof plan. And cop onto yourself.
We are doing a live show. I forgot to say this. We're doing a live show on the 19th of October in the Laughter Lounge. Whatever street the Laughter Lounge is in town, I can never remember. Tickets are €25. They're on the Laughter Lounge website. If you would like to come, that would be amazing.
It's fancy dress.
We promise not to be as dark as this. It's been quite dark this episode. We'll be a little bit lighter and we will have a lovely time. Yeah,
€25. Dress up as?
I have no idea. I thought you were doing a juggalo.
I don't know. Now I want to dress up as Conor McGregor's leg.
How would you do that?
I don't know, but I just think it'd be funny.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. A juggalo. Hey, Emma thinks that I'm
appropriating juggalo culture.
Appropriate culture by fucking dressed up as
you're appropriating,
a juggalo.
The culture of the juggalo.
Are they not appropriating culture themselves?
I don't know what they're. Sorry, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what they're doing.
Why did I tell you about?
From one end of the
one of the guys, you know the way they used to be, the Insane Clown Posse people, yes, used to be very homophobic.
Yes.
They've changed their ways.
They did. He came out and apologised and said
to his daughter, I was a fucking idiot.
Yeah, like, and that's the change we need in the world for people to be like, hey, you know what? I fucked up. I shouldn't have said those things.
But I will give them props. Poop dollar is a great invention.
Poop dollar is a great idea.
Yeah, fantastic.
I kind of feel like I watched a whole documentary about juggalos on Vice. I'll send you the documentary. And the entire time I was like, oh, this is crazy. But then the other side of my brain was like, I fucking love to go to this.
It does look fun.
It's unhinged, but everybody loves everybody.
Yeah.
And there's rarely like fights. Yeah. Or bad things happening. There's been no like cases. Because I Googled this. So I was like, any cases of sexual assault going on here? No. Like, people are super high.
Just having a lot of sex.
I think they're just having a lot of sex. Dirty juggalo sex. I know the balls smell rank. Anyway, everybody, come to our show on the 19th of October in the Laughter Lounge. We will have a lovely time and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Welcome to another therapy session. My name is Dr. Schwinkernadel. Let me bring up your file here.
Mm-hmm.
You appear to not like men very much, is this correct?
Fucking men!
Do you think these are rational thoughts, Miss McCormack?
I don't know, dude.
I see. Well, you're in luck, because I have an exercise that can help you out.
Okay.
Just take a deep breath. And now tell me everything you hate about men.
Things I hate about men. Let me see.
I never had time for Billy. Is a fool, so please take this as a warning. Emma's gonna get you. Emma's gonna get you. I really hate that cunt Adam. He's a bastard. That langer John is a too dirty bastard. If I had my way, there would be a reckoning. Emma's gonna get you. Gonna get you.
She hates the men, she hates the boys. She shakes her fist when they make noise. She keeps the scissors in her bag. Don't get her mad, cause she'll say, MMI, dirty old man, you deserve this. MMI, dirty old man, you deserve this. MMI.
Listen, Sarah Jane, I've come up with a plan. We could castrate a man. Gonna get you.